Amen. Church, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Thompson. Wonderful song selections. Good to see everyone here this morning. I'm honored and privileged to stand before you. I'd like to first say a word to our beloved Brother Carter and his family. It's being our minister here, I'm looking forward to hearing him on the Lord's Day, you know, and him not being with us and being afflicted in the flesh. Our effectual and fervent prayers are with he and his family, Amen. That he'll make a full recovery, and you will see him in the pulpit again. Amen. That's our effectual and fervent prayer for our beloved Brother Carter. Amen. So at this time, let us bow our heads and go before our Heavenly Father. Our God, our Father, which are in heaven, as again we approach your throne of grace as children, asking forgiveness of our sins and our trespasses, commission and omission, that we may come before your throne of grace as dear children. Father, thank you for your tender mercies and your love. Thank you for providing all of our needs. We pray at this time especially for our beloved Brother Carter, who, Father, though afflicted in the flesh, though like any man, afflictions come, but we know that he will hold to your unchanging hand, that he will find comfort and consolation, the peace and the rest that comes from being a Christian. Father, thank you for having him, Father, as our minister of this congregation, and the love that he exhibits, Father, throughout the congregation in his temperance, patience, and long-suffering. Bless the brother, the leadership of this congregation, as you have established them by your hand and given them to authority to entreat the congregation the necessary spiritual food that they desire and stand in need of. Father, we rejoice this morning that you've given us a mind to come to the house of the Lord, that we may be equal with thee by dwelling in spiritual places, revealing your will in our hearts, that as we grow dearer to you day by day, Father, we may be nourished and be steadfast in this doctrine you've given us. Be with me this morning, Father. Be with me that I may deliver this spiritual manna as a conduit to allow it to flow, Father, gracefully to those who stand in need and will hear and obey. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you. Far beyond what our feeble words can utter, but we pray that our hearts groan in sincerity and obedience, that our prayers may come before your throne of grace as a sweet-smelling savor. Be with us this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us say amen. Amen. Good morning, church. Good morning, and just to be correct about my greetings, I would say greetings, my dear Christians and friends, because I'm speaking to our Christians this morning, as well as some that simply being not yet children of God, but friends. And indeed, you are our friends if you're here with us this Lord's Day in our service here at the Stony Island Street Church of Christ. I'm Brother Randall Hall, for those who don't know. And I am the speaker of the hour for the half hour this morning. It may be a little less, come to think about it, but it's an honor and a privilege to stand before you. I'm humbled and thankful for this opportunity to minister God's word this morning. It's written in the psalmist, of course, the joy of harmonious relationship, and the author is David when he says, in the Song of the Grave, that how good and pleasant it is indeed for brethren to dwell together in unity. And that's the beauty of the theme this morning, is I hope to bring forth that unity, to kind of emphasize that unity with the tongue and bring us more closer together, even in our speech. Not just our actions, but our speech. You know, there's a song that's dear to my heart, and down in Texas we were singing Zion. And it says, must be a beautiful place, Zion. But to understand what Zion was, Zion was a place, Mount Zion. And this place was a place where the Jews gathered together. It was called the City of David. And the peculiar thing about it was that they had in common their attitudes, their characteristics were of God, because God dwelled there, because his people, his chosen people, that one nation, the Israelites and the Jews, had that peculiarity about them. They were in harmony with God, and it was good. And that fellowship that they had was a priceless thing. And I hope we find that here in this dispensation, these last days in Christ Jesus, as the children of God, we find the harmony that comes from comforting one another and speaking kind to one another, and having that blessed reward waiting for us in eternity. It's a beautiful thing, Zion. Beautiful place. And we have a beautiful place in Christ Jesus right now. Of course, our lesson was taken from the book of James, the third chapter, and it was dealing with the tongue. James is a very interesting book. He's the brother of Jesus Christ himself. And he was writing to a mixed congregation of Jews as well as Gentiles, where there's no more Jew-Gentile bond or free in Christ. But he was writing to the church from different backgrounds, but the church. And I chose the subject for the tongue because I think it's important in this day and age. Everywhere you go, now more so I'd say outside, because here I find unity. Here we put on a good front a lot of times, and we're working on our working on our soul salvation. I believe that, and because we're working on it, we really, when we come together, make a special effort to control that tongue. But outside of here, when we start driving home, when we go to our workplaces, when we're challenged at our jobs and the different places in the world, sometimes we get loose with our tongues, and we slip. And even more so in those places, we represent the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so I chose this message of the tongue because, to let you know, there's only two in business when it comes to controlling this tongue. There's Satan, and there's God. Only two in business, and so when I hope we get this wherever we go, more so that we understand whose we are, and so we control this tongue, because this tongue, I'm starting with me first, because I drive, and let me tell you, I'm going to stop driving, because this tongue can get you in a mess. I mean, and I've noticed that even with people, some people I drive with, Christian or non-Christian, when it comes to that tongue, when you're driving, that little, you can flip off so quick, you don't even, and you get challenging with people and don't even know. Your mind's in a place it shouldn't be, where you should be a Christ, and it should always be dwelling on things above, and applying spiritual principles to the problems of life. And so, I just dwelt to speak a few minutes on this tongue, and hope that we can get it under control in our lives to be better children of God, and not let Satan deter you from reaching your heavenly goal. And that's the bottom line. We have a heavenly goal. We're heading for. We got to control our tongue. Scripture says, out of the heart proceeded the issues of life. And so we speak things into being. We speak it. And that's this little tongue. And there's a problem in James is that the Jews actually believed in more so the work of the law, the letter of the law and the working. But in this new faith in Christ Jesus, he says, we have a newfound faith in Christ Jesus. But faith without works is still dead being alone. I think that was emphasized very well in our Sunday school lesson. With Rahab the harlot as well as the children of Israel, I was sitting there being quiet, but I said, wow, they're right on target with what I was going to talk about this morning. You know, faith and works, our faith is exemplified by our works. It's the substance of the things, what? Hope for the evidence of things unseen. We're going to manifest more so and work towards what we believe according to faith. And so, just want to look at I want you to, this is going to be very familiar, this lesson again taken from James, the third chapter. The verses were 8 through 10, I believe it was. Yeah, it says, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse man beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth cometh praise and cursing. My brother and sisters, this should not be. This should not be. And that starts with me. Let's take a look. There's only two in business here, once again. And when our speech is motivated by Satan, this is what it's full of. We're taking a self-reflective look at ourselves. Scripture says, whosoever look into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of God's word, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. So when we open the word of God, it reflects us. It reflects me. I'm not looking for you. I'm looking for me first. To see what manner of man I am. And so, take a good look, listen to this.
Once again, when our speech is motivated by Satan, it is full of bitter envy, selfish ambition, earthly concerns and desires, unspiritual thoughts and ideas, disorder and evil.
That's when Satan is governing more so our hearts or our tongues.
Now, this is how when God is governing your tongue, God in his wisdom is governing your tongue. Mercy, love for others, peace, consideration for others, submission, sincerity, impartiality, and righteousness.
It's only two in business. You're either doing one or you're doing the other. Our neighborhoods, our country, especially the world, is in dire need of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's in dire need of you speaking things of love and speaking Christ so that you can influence them to come out of what they're caught up in with their tongues. Listen to this, these definitions. You've heard some of these names, to blaspheme. The scripture says, every sin will be forgiven except for blaspheming. And some people caught up in that, and their hearts are hardened, and they're against God's word, and they will blaspheme. But it says, speaking irreverently about God or sacred things. Do you hear that on your radio today? People speaking irreverently about God and sacred things. From the White House down, y'all. Because it's happening. That's blasphemy. Swear, cursing, taking Lord's name in vain. Genesis 3 and 4 is the father of it. The father of lies. You know who that is? That's old Satan himself. And let me tell you something. All you have to do is change one word in order to be in blasphemy with God. One word of God's message, you're blaspheming him. And so even more so, how we degenerated in our society, in our thoughts as to who God is and obeying the one and only God which is in heaven through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Get a reader real quick for Genesis 3 and 4 just to make that pronounced. If you have your Bibles with us this morning, turn over to Genesis 3 and 4. I'm going to make that pronounced. I just want to take a closer look at that. I'm not going to draw this out, but I do want some of these scriptures read so they'll stay on our heart and we don't just want it to pass through real easy. When you get that, read that out for me real quick. Uh-huh.
He shall not surely die.
That's right. Now, before that, if you read in the book of Genesis, if you're a study of God's word, God said, in the day you eat of this fruit, you shall surely die. Satan changed one word, in the day shall not. That's blasphemy, y'all. Amen. That's blaspheming the word of God. Blaspheming God. So let's try to guard our tongues by when we look into the perfect law of liberty, don't change a thing. Study it, rightly divide it, take it for what it is, and work out your soul's salvation. An act of insulting as showering contempt or lack of reverence for God. This is promulgated in our society today. It's everywhere you go, on your radio, your TV. It's accepted now from the White House down. And that's a shame in what was once considered as a godly nation. But right now, there's no limits to it now. It's gone wild. But as children of God, we must be aware of our tongues and guard them at all costs. In the same breath, you could say the word guile is used, G-U-I-L-E. Genesis 4 and 9, if you get that for me. Sly or cunning intelligence. Well, sometimes we think of ourselves as some pretty witty people. We're educated, born, raised, educated right here in America. We're blessed to be able to know some things, but we get sly and cunning when we use our intelligence that we get sly, and it says sly or cunning intelligence, deceitful cunning, duplicity. Become two-faced in things. And we're not really who we are. What does that Genesis 4 and 9 say?
The Lord said unto Cain.
Yes.
Am I my brother's keeper?
You know, we get sly and cunning with God, who knows the heart of all men. But in God's face, we become what? Cunning and sly with our intellect and our intelligence. You can't fool God. Cain thought he could. Thank God for Seth. John, to give me a scripture, John 8:44. Profanity. And this is the thing we got to really watch. That's with that tongue again. See, some things are in sentences, some things are in paragraphs, but sometimes it's just the word. Once again, that word. Thou shalt not surely die. Or am I my brother's keeper? These are things against the Spirit of God. These are things we have to control. Our intellect. Profanity, blasphemous, or obscene language. Do we use that, church? Surely not a Christian. But you know, the interesting thing about that, say we all walked according, Ephesians tells us we all walked according to the prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So I would think at some time or other, I pray we have repented of that thing, coming to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and are no longer walking according to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. We can control these little tongues or what proceeded out of our hearts. John 8:44 says,
you belong to your father.
Well,
the devil. And you want to carry out your father's desires.
And we want to carry out our father's desires.
He was a murderer from the beginning.
That's what he was.
Not holding to the truth.
Not holding to the truth.
But there is no truth in him.
Mm.
When he lies, he speaks his native tongue.
That's Satan. Children, it ought not so to be. We need to govern our tongues at all times, whether it's in our homes, whether it's driving, whether it's in public, in our jobs. We need to be the one that set the light of Christ and set the right example. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no cursing, this is the God element of it, because now, thank be to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who died for the sins of mankind, who redeemed us from our sinful, erring ways, from our serving the Father of sin. Ephesians tells us, and that is, again, that's it, to the faithful, I like to say that because it starts off that chapter, the book of Ephesians, it says, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. That's who he's writing to. And then it ends out that book to those who love the Lord in sincerity. That's a beautiful thing. To those who love the Lord in sincerity. That's who he's writing to. To those who read, hear, and keep the commandments that are written in the book. Beautiful thing. But Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication proceedeth out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. That's a Christian speech. That's a godly person's speech. Attitude, characteristics from the heart, proceeding of the issues of life. And people see you and try to identify what manner of man is that. People can speak things pertaining of a certain standard of life. If they're going to get it, it's going to be because you've let Christ dwell in you richly. The Spirit is flowing through you. The light is shining from you. And people can understand that is a godly person. Have you ever heard him talk about it? Hey, have you ever heard him curse anybody? No, he ain't never cursed nobody here. So he's different. He's peculiar. She's peculiar. You ain't never heard him downtrodden anybody? I mean, he's talking to the manager and them. They ain't doing what they're supposed to be doing. He ain't never talked about nobody. He's always building people up. She's always building people up. Attitude, characteristic, the manner of man that you are, what proceeded out of your mouth. People are listening and they're seeing your life in Christ. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart with all diligence. For floweth it, it says, for from it floweth spirits of life. God has put his treasure in earthen vessels in these last days. When we went down to the watery grave of baptism and rose up, what did he tell them on the Pentecost in Acts 2? He says, then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And as this word went out and people were baptized, then they received the gift of that Holy Spirit. Salvation is yours. Filled with the Spirit of God. To speak the things pertaining to godliness. People are going to know the way. It's going to be because they have heard from those who know the way. Guard your heart with all diligence. It's very important, church. At all times, not just when we're here together, when we're driving in that car and you get cut off, when the new drivers are out there, when the old drivers are out there, when we're failing in our health and we're the detriment out there. Guard your heart with all diligence. Proverbs 18 and 21 says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Oh, church, how many people have we killed? You know, we need to start saving some lives now, not killing lives. And when you swear, you're literally killing a life. You're trying to kill someone. When you swear, you're damning a person. You're condemning them. I ought not so to be, church. Not from your mouth, not if you're a child of God. God has better things for you. He has created you into beings full of his grace and mercy that you may pull souls to him, redeem them from their erring ways, pull them out of the tear down the strongholds of Satan in their lives and bring them to the glorious God and Father in heaven through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So much to say about that. Very beautiful. But look at this, look at James 3 and verse 11. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? Have you ever tried to get fresh and salt from the same spring? There's a place even where it mixes. It just doesn't happen. You know, it's a fresh, you turn on the faucet and you want fresh water. Or you dip from a river, you want salt water. They don't come from the same place, do they? They don't mix. You won't have anything because it is what it is. Can both fresh water and salt flow from the same spring? Let's talk about your tongue. Can you bless and curse at the same time? We try it all too often, do we not? Verse 12, my brethren and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or olive bear figs? Neither can salt water produce fresh water. It's getting you some facts of life. Good old hard facts. And when you look at it, it makes sense. You're either blessing or you're cursing. Who's your father? Satan or God? The Father. But if you harbor bitter envy and self-ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from the heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and self-ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice. Isn't it wonderful? Zion. It's a beautiful place. Zion. No more troubles there. That's what we find when we come into this arena together in Christ. When we sing together. When we pray together. When we commune together. We give together. There's a peaceableness here that surpasses all understanding. And the world just don't get it. You know? But our job is that God has given it to us and to be that light. And that our tongues may not betray us by being anything other than what thus says the Lord. Verse 17 in James 3 says, but the wisdom the wisdom that cometh from above is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who show in peace, reap a harvest of righteousness. All it's talking about is showing your good deeds through humility. Or submitting yourself to the Spirit of God and letting them speak for themselves. One neither has to rant or boast about what I can or can't do. We're in the vineyard of the Lord. It's time to serve in spirit and in truth. Serve and let the Lord use you, and use you to a fuller measure, that your salvation that would just become brighter and glowing as the days go by. And when you speak, it will be sound speech. And people will know that you're a child of God. Now, I know there's some mature Christians in here, as well as those who have just been added to the body and are growing. And I can say, not that I'm like my mother, 92. If you ask her, how you doing? She said, I'm still growing. I'm still growing. It's another day I haven't seen before. And so God is helping me through this day. But it's nice when people recognize you as being a Christian. Is it not? It's nice when people want to know about spiritual things and they come to you and pull you to the side and says, can you explain this to me? And you didn't even know, you didn't even know the person maybe. They've been watching you from afar, been watching you on the job. Yet they're asking you for spiritual advice or to explain spiritual things to them. Why? Because out of your heart proceed of your issues of life. Because your tongue has manifest the manner of man you are. And that's generic, man and woman. And that's a beautiful place to be in the Lord. And so we are so blessed as the children of God. The scripture says, this tongue can no man tell. It starts off in James 3 saying that this tongue is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison, cursed man. He says that we bless God and curse man. You know, we control everything else. Look at all the things we control in our lives. God has put us to be faithful stewards over. We have our homes, our cars, and our different positions at our jobs that we do so well at. Let's govern our tongues, because God has put you over your tongue too. Just because you are in a position of great stress at your job, and I mean, I've been at a job where I've seen every manager in that building close the door, turn off the lights, and start crying. Because it's just that much stress. It's a big place with a lot of people, authoritative people from different, that are that will lay it on you and are laying it on you. But God has given you the power to control your tongue and to speak sound things. So let's have control over that too. I don't think I need to say an awful lot from James. I'm not trying to be up here long. I'm so thankful for this opportunity. But Christ died, and you know there was no guile found in his mouth. According to Isaiah 53, it says, when they persecuted him, he reviled not. He didn't curse, and he was innocent standing there. We're not so innocent, y'all, sometimes. They come at us. We're not the most innocent things in the world, but even if you are and if you're not. Right, you know, God has given you the power over your tongue to bless people. And to let them know you're not of the world, you're of God. Amen. So Christ set the example. So let's follow his example. Why? Because he's the head of the body of the church. And if the head is in heaven and we're on heaven, whatever we do down here affects that's in heaven. And he's looking down upon his children, beholding what manner of man we are. So let's always remember, we're in the presence of God. We have his favor on our side. The victory is ours. Just control your tongue. Speak the spiritual things. Speak kindness and meekness, temperance and patience. Exercise those virtues. Add to your faith. Virtue, as Peter says, and the virtue of knowledge, temperance. Temperance, patience, the patience, brotherly love. And if you'll do these things, it'll neither make that you're barren nor unfruitful in the will of God. God's will is for you to get on to heaven. He's made it possible through giving this heaven's best, his son, to die for your sins. At the end of this life, you don't have to miss the mark. You can fly through those pearly gates. And you know what? There's a story about the rich man and Lazarus, and then I'll let this be it, the message. There was the rich man and Lazarus. And yet to find that for right now, it's in the gospel, and we all know of that and heard of it. But Lazarus was poor and a beggar at the gates. The rich man lived lavishly. They both died. Lazarus went into the bosom of Abraham. You don't hear another peep from Lazarus. You know, when he was begging, when he was down here, yeah, he was always begging, but he was begging as a beggar, decent and in order. But he pleased God. And so after he died, you didn't hear anything else about what he said, because he was at rest with God. But that rich man, who lived lavishly down here, he was hollering and everything. Oh, don't tell him. Don't come to this place. Oh, God, no. Don't tell my brothers. Don't come here. He was full of speech. His tongue was just flipping all kind of ways. Made no difference. You know why? He says, well, if they won't listen to, you know, the prophets, they won't listen to you now. We say, if they won't listen to the scriptures, they won't listen even if somebody came back from the dead. So let's get our tongue under control that we don't wake up in a place that wasn't prepared really for God's children. God has a place of rest for you. Let's not wake up hollering with these tongues in hell. You know, the rich man had a lot to say once he got there. God's prepared a better place for you. Let's control our tongues and let's go into heaven. At this time, the invitation extended, the doors of the church are open. If you are not a child of God, you need to be saved. You need to be in a place where you can govern your tongue, where you can apply spiritual principles, and God will bless you to speak spiritual things and to speak spiritual blessings in your life. At this time, we're going to stand. The invitation extended. Come whosoever will.
667.